This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from BFM 89.9. I'm Meera Sivasudhi. Now, after 8 years on the air, we're bringing the Bigger Pictures Health and Living to you, live, on the ground. A whole day with the experts, debunking myths behind heart disease and diabetes, addressing our love affair with food. Of course, George will be there talking about sperm. So join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on Saturday, 2nd of April. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
I got this from Jamaica. It always works for me. Dakota to Decatur. No more
pretending. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In 2013, the family of Marvin Gaye sued Robin Thicke, Pharrell, and their label Universal for copyright infringement in that little track called Blurred Lines. It was alleged that the song veered too similar in vibe to Gaye's 1977 track Got to Give It Up. And for reference, here that is. Last December, Gaye's estate won and was awarded the largest damages in music copyright history. Pharrell, Thicke and Universal have since filed an appeal on March 8th. If you're unfamiliar with both songs or that wasn't enough for you and you need to hear even more how they might sound a tad similar, here's a quick sample of that.
Everybody get up.
Intellectual property lawyer Feng Cheng Leong joins me now in the studio to explain how much of a song can be copyrighted. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
So it seems like a bit of a strange case, I think, for people who aren't necessarily involved in the music industry or in the copyright industry. So here, the word used was vibe. Can emotions or a vibe really be copyrighted?
When I first heard the song, I had the same impression. I thought, how can these two songs be similar? Then I went to read the judgment, the U.S. judgment, and I see that they have engaged for both the parties, Marvin Gaye's estate and also Robin Thicke and Pharrell, is that they engaged someone called a musicologist. So a musicologist has supposedly examined the songs, and then they realized that there are actually some similarities in the song. Each side came out with their own report, and it seems that they went deeper than vibe, but they also went through things like there are similarities in the hooks, backup vocals, backup hooks. And then there were also talks about, keyboard parts and unusual percussion choices. So there seems to be some similarities in those songs that is not obvious to people on the streets. So, of course, the other side, Pharrell's side, would say that, okay, these songs are similar. And in respect of, you know, the lyrics and the feel of it, it's all different. But a little bit background on this case is that after reading the judgment, I realized that it was actually Pharrell and Robin Thicke initiated the suit first. They sued Marvin Gaye's estate first. So they seek for declaration that their song, Blurred Lines, did not infringe the copyright of the Marvin Gaye songs. So only then, after they were sued, they went for the Marvin Gaye's estate actually sued back, and they filed a counterclaim and say, "No, you guys actually infringe the song, and here please pay damages in respect of that." So there was a huge fight, and whether vibe can be protected in this case, it seems to go deeper beyond that. It talks about something more technical than it seems to be.
How often do people do that, you know, like preemptively sue for copyright? Is that a common thing? I mean, because it sounds to me like they shot themselves in the foot.
Indeed, they did. But it's quite common for, let's say, for example, I say I put in a demand letter, I tell you, you've been infringing my copyright. Please pay this amount of damages. So when you receive this letter, usually the person who issued it will go around town and telling everyone, hey, actually issued demand letter, I'm going to sue him for copyright, and yet you do nothing about it. So the victim here would be the person saying is probably lose his, you know, for example, a potential contract. So what these victims do is that they will file a declaration of non-infringement to say that we did not infringe the copyright. So very in Malaysia, we have that as well. In UK, we have that as well. So it's fairly common thing in the common law jurisdiction.
As a lawyer who deals with intellectual property on a regular basis, was there anything about the case that you found interesting or novel, you know, aside from, I guess, the huge settlement?
I think the novelty here would be the use of musicologists. Both sides put in two experts and both experts gave two different views. The jury bought the Marvin Gaye side and decided in favour of that. So, and it went, and it also talked about the music composition and it talks about how the tune went up and structure up and down. So I thought that the technical part is fairly interesting. But whereas the other parts is just like your normal copyright infringement case. The huge damages that's given is also because of the song became very, very popular. So they have million over downloads and won lots of awards. So it is fair for a huge amount of royalties to be given.
The Gays were awarded $5.3 million, 50% of all royalties from the song. It's the biggest amount in music copyright history. Did it set a precedent?
I don't think it really sets a precedent because the song, again, is very popular. It made a lot of money. It is fair for royalties to be calculated based on what you have made. So in Malaysia, we have the accounts of profit or damages. So it's fair. Again, it depends on how much you make. The more money you make, there will be a claw by the original proprietors and say that I want this certain amount to be paid back as my share for you using my intellectual property without consent.
This is not the first time that an artist has listened to a song and said, hey, that sounds like my song. I think the most common argument that's put forth is just, well, songs are songs. You take inspiration from everywhere. I didn't steal. I was just inspired by, maybe consciously or not. If an artist unknowingly plagiarizes a song, theoretically, and can demonstrate that in court, would they still be held liable for copyright infringement?
In Malaysia, yes. Unintentional infringement, it is still infringement. So you cannot say that I have no idea. I didn't intentionally infringe this copyright. So they still can, the owner still can file action against them.
Does it make a difference that I didn't know? I mean, is there a difference between knowing and unknowing?
Yes, when it comes to damages. So if you knowingly infringe someone's copyright, then the damages is higher. It could be awarded exemplary damages, even I think there's a statutory amount of 25,000 ringgit per work, per infringement, if you knowingly infringe the copyright of that person.
How do I demonstrate that I was unknowing, you know? Because, of course, anyone can say that they were unknowing, but how do I truly demonstrate, look, I've never heard of your song before or I've never read your book before?
Well, it's quite hard to prove you unknowingly infringe it. Perhaps one possible way is that the connection between the owner and yourself. So, for example, if, let's say, the plaintiff and defendant doesn't know each other, then there's one part you can talk about. Secondly is, for example, the work that's being published is not available publicly. So it's restricted in no manner you will be able to access it. So there could be some form of an unintentional infringement there.
So let's say I write a short story. Not to take it out of the music world, and as a slight tangent, but I remember with the J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter situation, what happened was that, you know, somebody who had written something said, oh, you know, you copied this piece of work. So let's say hypothetically I write a story now, you know, with a character named something, right? And later on somebody makes that book very, very popular, but I never published mine. Is that copyright infringement?
J.K. Rowling's case, I read the judgment. Basically, the storyline between J.K. Rowling's book and that person's book, they say they're similar. In that case, the judge actually made a comparison between chapter and chapter. So what happened in this case? What happened in this? What happened in this? What happened in this? And then the judge says that there is no similarities in those things. You can have a similarity in concept, but you cannot take the expression of the idea. So in other words, one thing is, of course, you cannot take everything copied, everything word for word. But what you can take is the idea of it, a book about children running around, killing off wizards and all. But the essence of it, you cannot take from the book.
I'm speaking today with intellectual property lawyer Feng Cheng Leong. We started off talking about the Marvin Gaye versus Robin Thicke and Pharrell case, but in a larger sense, we're talking about copyright today, specifically song copyright laws. Up next, we find out if you can register a copyright in Malaysia. You are listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're still here. Good. Now, if you're listening to this podcast while on the treadmill, you're already off to a good start. If you're not, don't forget to join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on the 2nd of April. Find out how you can live a better, healthier life. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. With me today is Feng Cheng Leong, intellectual property lawyer. We're talking about whether emotions can be copyrighted, and particularly when it comes to songs. You can't register a copyright in Malaysia. What does this mean?
You can't register a copyright in Malaysia. Basically, you cannot file an application and say that I claim ownership of this copyright. But what you can do is nowadays you can file something called a copyright notification with my IPO. So basically, you put in a statutory declaration and say that I am the owner of this work, this artistic work, or this picture, or this song, or this movie, and I hereby claim I'm the owner. So with the statutory declaration, you filed it, you will get a certificate, and with that, you are the prima facie owner. Basically, you are the owner of this copyright, and if let's say there's a court dispute, the other side will need to disprove that you are not the owner. So in the past, we do not have this notification process. So when we go to court, we file it, we do a statutory declaration to say that I am the owner of this artistic work or literary work. But soon we realize that in court, all these statutory declarations were all knocked off by the court because it doesn't comply with certain requirements and in the Copyright Act or so on and so forth. So my IPO came out with this notification process as some form of protection for copyright owners to prove ownership.
How similar are our song copyright laws to the United States?
Quite different, actually. Over there, they have the bigger sense of something called fair dealing or fair expression or fair use. So over there, they are more relaxed. You can always hear parodies without. And Malaysia here is more restricted. Our laws haven't changed much since the old days. So our act is Copyright Act 1987. The latest changes was not too long ago, but that in respect of ISP's liability. So. But I foresee there will be more changes with the TPPA coming to force.
Right now, then, in our less relaxed state of affairs, what qualifies as stealing in Malaysia when it comes to music?
Well, if, let's say, you downloaded a song and then you put it up and then you start selling it off, then yes, it's copyright infringement in way stealing. But now, when it comes to copying, not word for word, for example, then it's hard to assess. Sometimes, for example, you take an excerpt from a book. So I recently had one case where someone in the US actually sent a demand letter to my client because he copied a quote from his book. So he said that I can't remember how many pages in his 100 pages book, one quote my client quoted, and he said this is copyright infringement. So sometimes you will encounter something called a troll. Patent troll. Usually it's a patent troll, and copyright is a copyright troll, and trademark is a trademark troll. So they'll come up with a demand and ask you to, let's say, pay a small amount of settlement. But usually they'll come up with, let's say, $1 million and say, if you don't settle this, I will sue you for $1 million. So, and they will force, but eventually you come up with a negotiation and they say, okay, let's do it for $1,000. And then that's where they make their $1,000 of their money.
When it comes to a song, what elements are protected? We talked about the introduction of the musicologist in the Marvin Gaye and Pharrell judgment, and they kind of would break down a song and identify all these different parts. So here, I mean, what's protected? Lyrics, hooks?
Song actually is quite complicated because in a song, you have your lyrics, you have your composition, you have your music, the production of it. So there are actually a lot of layers. So for example, if someone copied the lyrics, then the person who wrote the lyrics would have a right to sue. but the person who plays the music would be a different, or the person who sang the song would be a different, have a different right to it. So sometimes, but of course, recording it for recording industry is fairly simple. It's the person who wrote the lyrics, the singer, everything, they will all sign their copyright to the recording company. So from then, they can control the rights easily. They can sue people easily. Some people will still maintain the lyrics as their own rights. So what they do is they license it to third parties to sing it. So that's how all these musicians make a living from there.
Just as a thought experiment.
Let's Marvin Gaye and get it on. You got the healing that I want.
How long could I let this play without paying before Charlie Puth, who is, you know, the artist behind the song, comes after us?
Well, I think it's hard to say. The fact that you sang the lyrics, sorry, the chorus was played, that is the core of the song. So once you start playing this song, some form of royalty has to be paid. So you don't need to actually play the entire song in order to be liable for royalty. So long you play a substantial bit of it, you will need to pay some form of royalty. So how much royalty you pay is currently, there's nothing publicly accessible to say that, okay, 10 seconds of song, you need to pay 10 ringgit, for example. But here is all between the music station and the recording industry or all the other associations connected. So they will come at an agreement, say, you will pay one, a license, annual fee, two, you will pay a license, a royalty for each song you play. So that's how they collect. So if the song, let's say you play 50s for 30 seconds, suddenly you have to break for music, sorry, break for news, then you probably have to pay some form of royalty for the song you just played for 30 seconds.
So that might be quite expensive, what we just did. That might be an expensive question.
It could be just a few cents or a few ringgit. It wouldn't cost a bomb, I guess.
What else can be or is protected by copyright in Malaysia aside from music? We've talked a little bit about books.
Yes. Basically, they're broken down into, you know, artistic work, literary works, broadcasting, sound recording. Material things would be, for example, as I said, books, song, movies, the design of a certain thing.
Clothing,
packaging, the logo, software, also protected. Even agreements, for example, you draft an agreement that is also protected by copyright. So any art, even articles as well. There was a recent case where they actually tried to protect the structure of a game. I think there was a case between New Straits Times and another company where they said they have copied some form of game competition, and that is copyright infringement. But in that case, that idea itself is not copyrighted. So there were also cases where they actually copyright the concept, how lightings works and so on and so forth. So that was also a dispute. So quite a bit of things actually can be copyrighted in this sense.
As it stands, do you believe that there is enough protection for copyright here in Malaysia?
I think yes. The basic is all covered. But now with the technological advancement, it is hard to say. So, for example, a lot of software that's being created. So on what extent is the software, what functions can be protected or what cannot be protected. But nevertheless, the basics have all been covered and we're just using the same principle to protect whatever is new. So 30, 40 years ago, we don't have things like, you know, softwares to think about, a copyright of software, but now it's fairly normal. So also things like streaming of music. So how can that be protected? In the old days, you download the music and then you play it, store on your computer, and if people catch you with it, then there could be copyright infringement. But nowadays, people just stream music. So, of course, the person who streams the music would be infringing copyright. The person providing the streaming, of course. But if, let's say, there's a peer-to-peer type of music, there's no one source of music, but let's say there's like 10 people sharing small bits or parts of it. So would that be copyright infringement? So there'll be an interesting discussion now as to whether there'll be copyright infringement.
Does our Copyright Act require updating?
Certainly, just to keep in line with the technical advancement.
But as you say, its basics still cover us well enough.
The basic covers us enough because we follow a lot of the international treaties. So the international treaties actually provides us with the updated laws. Of course, there could be would be nice to be have some form of protection for, let's say, photographers. A lot of times it's the photographers or the SME, for example, or the sole proprietors where their copyright has been taken without permission. So, for example, newspaper have taken your picture, and you being the small entrepreneur or small business owner will not have the funds to fight, you know, the big boy, just to get your damages for using your copyright. So it would be nice if we have, let's say, a small tribunal, no lawyers involved, come in to present your case, and then the tribunal president or chairman would decide how much to pay for misusing the copyright. So currently, if you want to fight a copyright case in Malaysia, in let's say in the High Court, you're looking at least 50 to 100,000 ringgit just to fight a copyright case.
Coming back to that point earlier about how you kind of declare copyright or declare ownership here in Malaysia, what is the threshold for a piece of work to be considered original? What do I need to prove in order to say, I created this, this is mine?
The threshold for originality is fairly... One thing to prove copyright is you need to prove originality. So for originality, it's fairly simple to prove. So long you thought of it in your mind, and then you've taken a lot of information and you put in a certain table, that is already protected by copyright. So the compilation of things is all copyright. You don't need to be an original idea. So an original is in novel, no one else in the world has thought about it, or no one else in Malaysia thought about it. So long it is your original idea, it is copyrighted, can be protected by copyright.
And how much does it cost me to get that?
If, let's say, you file the copyright notification, the cost, the official fee is very, very low. If I remember correctly, it's about in 30s or in the 55 ringgit, around that area. But to prepare the statutory declaration, that would cost a bit of money. Usually it's prepared by a lawyer. But, of course, you can prepare it on your own, but you may run into trouble if, let's say, you didn't prepare it correctly.
You didn't cover your bases.
You didn't cover bases.
How long would it last after I've managed to prove originality, you know, I've filed what I need to file? How long will this last?
The author's life plus 50 years. So whereas for, you know, sound recording is about 50 years. So the rule of thumb is about 50 years. But there are plans to expand it to 70 years.
And then can I renew it?
No, it's not renewable.
Right, so once it's done, it's done.
Once it's done, once it's gone, it's gone. It becomes public domain. So the songs, let's say in the 1920s songs, original songs, you can play it freely without paying a royalty to the estates.
You referenced the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement just then. Is there anything about it that worries you about how it would impact copyright laws here in Malaysia?
I've looked at the TPPA and I made a comparison with the current Copyright Act. I see that there's nothing much to worry about, because what has been recommended in the TPPA or what has been asked to us to do in the TPPA has really been done in our own Copyright Act. So because, again, our Copyright Act has been updated from time to time to follow the international treaties. So I don't think there's much to worry about in respect of copyright in the TPPA.
Finally, the debate on copyright law seems to mostly center around this notion of having to balance creativity versus commercial interests. How can we better manage this balance moving forward for creatives as well as, you know, for the system as a whole?
Someone once told me, if there's no copyright, there's no creation. So if you do not have copyright protection, no one else has the incentive to create something. So it is always best to protect the copyright owners. And of course, with a big delay to ordinary people, for example, let's say I have a wedding video and I want to play that song and I don't want to get sued for it, for personal use. Currently, we have a personal use protection where, for example, if you have not more than 3 copies of the same CD, for example, then that is for private defense use. So you won't get charged for copyright infringement. So in Malaysia, software is very expensive to access. Hopefully, we will reduce the charges. Unfortunate position is that most of the copyright that's being created are outside Malaysia, and we, being the person who consumes those things, would need to pay quite a hefty fee for it. So it would be good if we create our own and pay a reasonable fee for it.
Thank you very much. I've been speaking with Feng Chengliang, intellectual property lawyer. We've been discussing whether emotions can be copyrighted, as well as song copyrights as a whole. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.